Well, good morning or afternoon or whatever it is for you. I appreciate your listening in to this message. This is being shared online in light of the fact that we're not meeting this morning for our regular service because of the coronavirus concern. So I will share some thoughts with you during this time, and I trust it'll be an encouragement and a blessing, and I trust you're praying for one another and looking to the Lord during this time. I'd like to begin by reading from James chapter 1 and verse 1. James chapter 1, we read this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We are currently, as we all know, going through some difficult times as a people and as a nation. There is so much uncertainty as to how this coronavirus pandemic will progress. We hear some pretty sobering and even frightening estimates that possibly millions will die. Some say it can extend for months through the summer. Others say that, well, within a few weeks, it'll run its course. Some say we're close to finding a medical treatment that will help us rid ourselves of this disease. Others say, not so soon. Not only are we concerned on the medical front for the well-being of our lives, but on the economic front, things are not looking up. Stock market's in a tailspin and has lost trillions of dollars. Millions of people are out of work and are in danger of losing their jobs. Businesses are closing and may go bankrupt and be closed permanently. I saw one headline recently: economy deteriorating fast. We just don't know yet what the total economic impact this will have on our nation and on the world and upon us and upon our families individually. We are living in unprecedented times and going through what they call uncharted waters or unmapped territory. We're having to develop our own roadmap through this. Needless to say, we've had to navigate outside our comfort zone. But maybe that's not necessarily bad if good can come from it. And depending on our attitude and our faith, much good can and I believe will come out of it for the Christian. Instead of living in fear and panic, my hope for you and for myself is that we learn to truly live by faith and prayer. Now is not the time to worry and fear, but it's an opportunity for God to stretch our faith and trust in Him. And the Lord may indeed stretch our faith and take us right out of our comfort zone where we believe things will just continue as they always have, and that this will cause us to look up, not out to the government, but up to the one who governs and rules the universe. We need to remember that God is running the show. God controls the orbit and movement of every single star, planet, and galaxy. He also controls the sparrow and the butterfly. And He is in charge of every molecule and atom, and yes, even every virus. This virus didn't catch God off guard. He didn't wake up one day and say, "Oops, I sure didn't see that one coming. If I'd only caught it earlier, there wouldn't be all the havoc on the earth." So because we know God is in control, we know much good not only can, but will come from this. For in the end, He will be glorified, and now we can and we must glorify Him through this. I said rather than fear and panic, we need faith and prayer. We look up and we rejoice. Yes, we ought to be rejoicing during a time like this when we're forced to trust Him, because we're seeing that the government cannot be our Savior. Our passage says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And I think what we're going through now is indeed a trial. But as we look up during this time, we can count our coronavirus blessings. So let me just share a few coronavirus blessings that I thought of. First blessing is we know the Lord and will live forever. John 3:36, we read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, people will die, and people, sadly, are dying from this virus. But if they are believers, though they die, they live. Now please understand that most people will not die from this. In fact, it's likely that a small percentage will die, and the vast, vast majority will be all right. But after all, we all will die. Some would say, but I don't want to die yet, and I sure don't want to die of this virus. And I'm one of those who say that. But since when did you and I get the idea that we can decide how and when we die? I don't want to die of cancer either. I don't like the idea of dying in an auto accident or by a gunshot or by beheading or torture. But in the end, we're going to die one way or another. And the blessing is that we will really never die if we know Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So we know the Lord will live forever. Secondly, a second coronavirus blessing is that I'm going to trust the Lord more. I trust the Lord more. I can't trust myself to protect myself because no matter how careful I am, I may still contract the virus. Unless maybe I indeed shelter at home and never leave and no one ever comes to see me. But I can't be guaranteed that I'll not get it even though I take all the precautions I can. I can't completely trust the medical providers. They are wonderful. They are indeed the heroes in this epidemic, but they can only do so much. And I surely can't trust the government to completely protect me from the virus. So what an opportunity to look up and totally rely on God. What's the Bible say? Well, Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Our currency, our money, has the motto, in God we trust. But do we? Do you? Verse 4, again, of Psalm 56 says, in God I have put my trust. And so let it be. Let this virus, this enemy of mankind, bring good things to us. And that would include a greater and stronger faith, reliance, trust in our Savior. We read in Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So I don't need to worry about this. I need not fear nor fret. It's beyond my control, but it's completely under God's control. He's not going to allow anything to happen to us that is not for our good. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 faced a multitude of Ammonites, and it wasn't going to be good until he looked to the Lord and trusted him, and God brought a great deliverance. How would Joshua lead his people Israel into the land of Canaan against such a fierce enemy? He would do it by relying upon the promise of God to give him the land and give him the victory. How would they cross the swelling Jordan River? By faith, by trust. How would they go up against Jericho? by faith, by trust, by reliance upon their God. Now, is our God weaker? Is our God today less willing to help us? We think the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is stronger than our God. We think the God of Joshua and Elisha and Jehoshaphat and Peter and Paul is not so willing to help you and me. But that's not true. He is the same God, the same Savior. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever and ever. Indeed, our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. And if it please him to bring healing to our nation, he will. He is well able. I pray that he does, but he may not. And this is the bottom line. This is the absolute truth. God is God, and we are not. We are his creatures, created and redeemed to glorify and give honor and glory to him. We read in Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay or stop his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? In other words, nobody can say to God, what are you doing? But we need to remember that he will bring good out of anything and everything for the believer. For the Bible says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are in the called according to his purpose. A third coronavirus blessing is, I have a living hope and an incorruptible inheritance. I'm going to look at 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Actually, these first few verses of 1 Peter, I'd like us to consider, maybe through verse 7. But in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, I've already mentioned that the first blessing is a knowledge that will live forever, but I just want to emphasize that from this passage, we have a hope. It's a living hope, a hope that is steadfast and sure. It's an anchor that keeps the soul. And many all around us are losing hope because they're losing their income, losing their jobs, losing their health. Some are losing their minds. And it is distressing. And we understand that. But I want to remind us that as believers, we have hope. It's a living hope. And it's founded upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who said, because I live, ye shall live also. John 14:19. People don't want to die from this virus, but this dreaded virus is not the worst that can happen to us. The worst is a virus of sin, for sin that is not under the blood of Jesus Christ will be judged, and the judgment for sin is eternal hell. It is an eternal punishment in the lake of fire. It is living eternally in what Jesus described as the fire that shall never be quenched and where the worm dieth not, Mark 9:44. Did you know that 7,500 people die every day in the United States? That every 12 seconds, one person dies. About 150,000 people in the world die every day. And most of them will die a second time in the fires of hell. That is sobering. They need to hear. They need to hear from you and me. They need to know about this living hope and eternal inheritance. And may the threat and dread of this virus and all the negative impact it's having move us to tell others all around us of the Savior's love for their soul and his provision of such a wonderful salvation. A fourth coronavirus blessing is that I am reminded that I am secure. We read in our passage, 1 Peter 1, verse 5, 1 Peter 1, 5, we are kept or guarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When we are seeing people losing their health and their jobs and are in panic mode, it's wonderful to be reminded that though we lose all else, we shall never lose our salvation. You and I are secure in Christ. Jesus emphasized that when he said in John 10, 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Number 5, another coronavirus blessing is that I am rejoicing. I am rejoicing. Others around me are fearing and stressing and distressing and moaning and groaning and fearfully wondering what is ahead. But as believers in Christ, we can and we ought to be rejoicing at all times, even in times of trouble. Again, 1 Peter 1, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, that is, wherein, meaning at the living hope, our inheritance, our security, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Now Peter's writing to Christians who are being persecuted. They were being tortured, killed for their faith. And if these persecuted Christians can rejoice in their severe trials, can you and I not rejoice in our inconveniences? Yes, we can. Here's an opportunity to trust the Lord and to believe his word to the degree that I can and must rejoice, even when it would seem there's little cause for rejoicing. Now, I tell you, I'll be honest with you. My tendency in a time like this is to get upset like others are, to worry and to fear like others are. But God tells me to rejoice. So if he says to rejoice, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise the Lord. I have a Savior. Praise the Lord. I have a heaven. Praise the Lord. My sins are gone, gone, gone. Praise the Lord. I can stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord. I'm accepted in the Beloved. So let's rejoice. Let's just be happy and give thanks. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So let's rejoice and give thanks today. We read in Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Another, a sixth coronavirus blessing is that I see my need to pray, and that's good. That's a blessing that comes out of this when I see more than ever my need to pray. Now, we're to pray at all times. We're to pray without ceasing. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. But we're also told to pray in times of trouble. And I believe this is a time of trouble. So let's use it to be motivated to pray. We read in Psalm 50, and that'd be a good psalm to turn to, Psalm 50, Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. He invites you and me to call upon him in the day of trouble. Says, call upon me in the day of trouble. He wants to hear from you and me in the day of trouble. So let's not disappoint him. And he in turn will deliver thee. How that deliverance comes, we don't know. But it will come in his perfect time, his perfect way, and according to his perfect will, not necessarily in our time and our way. We read in Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And the last coronavirus blessing that I want to share today, the seventh one, is that we glorify God. What a coronavirus blessing that is. I can glorify God through all of this. Again, our verse in Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I call upon him, he delivers, and he gets the glory. That's the way it should be. We read again in our passage in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. That's all that matters. When all is said and done, that God be glorified, whether it be by our life or by our death. So may God find us serving him, praying to him, speaking of him, testifying of him, and glorifying him. God bless you. I can't wait till we get together again. And may the Lord meet your every need. Thanks so much for listening today.